Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Well, what an incredible season we're entering, Christmas. I know Christmas can be a pain in the neck. I just don't like the commercialism. I hate going shopping. My wife always says, "You want to come?" No. I might be silly, but I'm not suicidal. It's just... But having said that, you know, what a phenomenal opportunity we have this Christmas to display the love of Jesus. You know, the fact that you can walk into a shopping center and hear carols declaring Jesus. The fact that so many people have some kind of understanding of Jesus. What a magnificent time to display the love of God. This should be a season where, way over and above the glitter and the tinsel and the presents, there's something that stirs in our heart to go, "Oh God, you be seen this Christmas. You be declared this Christmas. Let people encounter you, the real meaning of Christmas, this Christmas." You know, this is such a great time for Christians to overflow with the love of God, to be intentional in seeing people one for Jesus. And that's something I want to speak about this morning because, you know, I've been reflecting on Jesus' words to the early disciples. He's been challenging my heart, and I figure if he's picking on me, why not challenge you? And it's these words that Jesus said in Mark 1, 17 and 18. He said this, "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you into fishers of men." At once, they left their nets and followed him. The more I pondered this verse, the more it challenges me. Because you notice the call and the mission right at the very beginning was to become fishers of men. That was the call right at the beginning. And so that call has not changed. Now, when we say fishers of men, that doesn't mean putting a fish hook in a Bunnings hot dog. But what it means is that we have a heart and a passion and a desire to see people one to Jesus. Jesus said that he would make us into fishers of men, where we're declaring with our lives, with our love, with our passion, intentionally, we're declaring who Jesus is and what he came for. It's very intentional, being his ambassadors and called to be fishers of men. You see, when we gave our lives to Jesus, we agreed to Jesus' lordship and we agreed to serve him, right? That call and what we said in saying yes to Jesus to serve him was to be, in fact, made into a fisher of men. That's what we said yes to. And that's what Jesus is going to reward eternally. That's all that's going to matter eternally. Nothing else will matter except to be called and to operate loving Jesus, worshiping him, and declaring and being a fisher of men. You know that word to make, when Jesus said, "I will make you," it is the Greek word poieo, poieo. And what that means is to make something happen, such as causing a person to be a certain way or bringing about a certain result. It also means to assume a role to carry out a command. The word itself emphasizes action. So when we look at this, there's a twofold thing. Number one, Jesus said that he would make. Number two is that we're prepared to be made. And that we will act on and follow out and accommodate and steward what Jesus wants to do in our lives in terms of making us into being a fisher of men. In fact, the noun poiete translates into being a doer. Doing. So Jesus will do his part in making, if we will do our part in following and cooperating in what Jesus is making. Is this all making sense? You know, the image came to me when I was thinking about this, of the potter and the clay. How many know that Jesus is the potter, or God is the potter, and we're the clay? And we have the option of sitting on the potter's wheel. But that is our option. In Isaiah 64 and verse 8, it says, "Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand." And so he will make us to be a vessel of honor. He will make us to be people who are prepared to carry the gospel and be fishers of men. If we are prepared to be the clay that sits on the potter's wheel and says, "God, do in me what you need to do in order to make me to be who you need me to be." And so what a great blessing that is. What a gift that God wants to use us for his glory. And what a joy of seeing people come to Jesus. There is nothing better. You know, in all of my life's ups and downs over many years, there is no greater joy than seeing somebody come to Jesus. I love my grandkids too, and my wife. You know, Pastor Mel was sharing with the staff a couple of weeks ago with the whole thing of Abraham and Lot. And listen, it says in Genesis 12, verse 2 to 4. And God is talking to Abraham, and this is the promises that he is making to him. And he says, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing." So we hear God saying to Abraham twice, he will make him. He says, "I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." And so Abraham went as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. So God said he would make Abraham into a great nation. He would make his name great, but it required intentional action on the behalf of Abraham, because he had to get up and go. It wouldn't have happened if he hadn't cooperated with God in saying, "Okay, you said you would make, but you've told me to go. And so I'm going to go." And so we see that God fulfilled his promise to Abraham. So here's what I'm challenged with. To be made requires us in our response to be intentional. I want you to hear that word this morning, intentional. To be made into a fisher of men requires us to be intentional. Just like Abraham had to get up and go, we have to get up and go in order to be made into a fisher of men. So my sermon title today is Living Intentionally. Now, I know that we live in a very fast-paced society and that there are demands on every side. I know that, and especially if you've got children or elderly parents and study and financial pressures and work, and, you know, it's a busy life we live, right? It's a busy world we live in. And but, you know, as I look back on my life, I can see that there are seasons in my life where I've tended to live more by default than being intentional. You know, it's so easy to live by default. We live according to the pressures and the demands and the squeezes and the stuff that's going on around us. You know, running here and there and all. We've never been a busier people in all of our lives, right? Running here, there and all over the shop, doing all kinds of things. But so often what happens is that in the busyness of life, the things that are shaping us are the challenges and the pressures that surround our lives. It's the busyness. It's the, you know, have you ever been to that place where you just don't know what circle you're running in? You know, just stop the planet. I want to get off. Anyone ever been there? I think most of us have been there, right? It's just life gets so demanding and so busy and so many things to do and try and keep up with so many voices and pressures and expectations and demands and all of that stuff going in, but you know, we're meant to live more than by just keeping our head above the water. We're meant to live intentionally. We're meant to live above all of that. And I understand that there are busy seasons, and I understand that there are times when, you know, there are challenging circumstances. But let me ask the question, are the challenges and the circumstances dictating how we live, or are we letting Jesus dictate how we live? You see, this is what it means to be intentional, to allow God to shape our lives so that the natural outcome is to become a fisher of men. We weren't called just to lead busy lives. There's a far greater purpose, in fact. You know, in fact, the key to creating the life that you love, the life that you are looking for, the life that accomplishes the right goals and living out your purpose, the key to it all is to be intentional. It'll never happen unless we are intentional. You notice that Jesus lived so intentionally. He was never late. Yeah? He never reacted. He only ever acted. He was never. He was just in control because he was listening to the Father and he was doing what the Father called him to do. He was never dictated to by the circumstances. So living intentionally is one of the keys to living a growing, flourishing, productive life, because it focuses our attention on the things and the energies and the priorities that we should be looking to in order for God to shape our lives and cause us to be made to be fishers of men. You know, with your children, those who've got children, you have to be intentional. If you're not intentional, the kids will end up parenting you. Is it true? It's true. They're smart kids. They know. If you're not intentional with your kids, God help you. So how do we live intentionally? Just three quick keys this morning. Number one, we need to live with the end in mind. See, life is so temporary that we need to live with eternity in mind. It's so easy, isn't it? Just to gasp and get through the day rather than seeing the eternal. Because that's where we're going. Life is just temporary. Life is a time of preparation. Life is an opportunity to sow seed that we'll live in when we get to heaven. We're called to purpose, to be made to be an active fisher of men. You know, all the running around we're doing, is that fulfilling destiny? Is that leading your kids closer to Jesus? Are the things that our lives get consumed? I'm talking to me. Are the things that consume our lives, are we going to stand before God and know that we're going to be honored with the things that we've invested our time with? You know, is being a fisher of men motivating me daily? Don't be distracted or sidetracked, because being a fisher of men is what love looks like. I heard sister praying this morning of love. How can we say we love people if we're not telling them about Jesus? How can we say we care if we're not being intentional, thinking of eternity? Because every one of us is going to end up at eternity, and so are our friends and our family and our neighbors. They're all going to end up in eternity. The question is where? Love looks like being a fisher of men. So what is the motive to my busyness? Will it help prepare me and set me up and people up for eternity? Because we're all going to stand before God and answer. You know, living intentionally is such a blessing. Can I read a card to you? Please, this is not about us, but this is what I'm trying to illustrate. Is that okay? This is a card from medical practitioner that we see from time to time, my wife and I. Said, "Dearest Ken and Melanie, Merry Christmas for 2025. I know Christmas cards are a thing of the past, but for me, they remind me of how much I adore those closest to me. Thank you for being those who I care for so deeply. You really are appreciated and loved, and this is the perfect time to remind you of that. Thank you for uniting so many people, not just through your church work, but through your everyday living. You will never know the impact you both have had on me, on my work ethic, on how I conduct my business and my personal life. I even force my family to have dinner together every night because I aspire to have the family that you have, etc., etc. See, our lives can count. This is a person on their journey. They're not know Jesus yet, but I tell you, they're on their journey. We're able to talk with them and share with them so openly, because that's what our lives are supposed to be, right? So people see there's something different. There's something in us that it's when we live with eternity in mind that we see people. We see where they're at and what is going on. And that's what makes, you know, living a sacrificial life so worth it. You know, Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. So can I encourage you, stay on the potter's wheel. Stay on the potter's wheel and let him make you this Christmas. Oh my goodness, what could the fruit be this Christmas in your life, in your neighbors, in your family, in your relatives, if we're open to being a fisher of men? On Christmas Eve, your carol service, don't rely on Pastor Mel and Mark. Come on, what about your neighbors? What about your work colleagues? What about your family and friends? Friends, we're called to be a fisher. Don't let fear stop you. Don't let fear stop you. Be intentional. Ask God, who can I invite? Who, God, is on your mind? Who are you looking at? God, who could come? And it's sometimes the toughest people, the people you think you'll never get traction with, they're the very ones that respond to the gospel. Don't be afraid. Allow God to help you to be a fisher of men. It is so worth it. I remember back in many years ago, we were pastoring Belmont. It was Airport City Church back then. And, you know, we were just, it was, hey, guys. How you doing? I married these guys about 50 years ago. I didn't marry them. I did their ceremony. So great to see you. These are amazing people. I love those guys. But, you know, we were very small, and this guy came in, and he was a full-on drug addict. He was a dealer. He was a mess. And he gave me curry. Like, he was a pain in the schnitzel. But, you know, I just kept loving him and being with him. And he got around him four young guys that he didn't influence well. And between the five of them, they were the bane of my life. But kept loving them and sharing. I lost track of them over the years. But, you know, last year I got a card. And there was a picture in the card of the five of them. And the one who was the dealer, he says, I'm now a pastor. Yeah. And he says, we are planting a church and these are my four helpers. These five young guys were such a pain in the neck. Planting a church. Friends, it's worth it. It is worth it. Oh, keep going with those people who don't seem to be responding. Keep investing. Keep being intentional. Number two, we need to be setting priorities. You can't live intentional without setting priorities in your life. Don't let life dictate to you. You set the priorities. You establish the boundaries. And you be intentional, because if you don't, decisions will be made for you. When you're intentional, you make good decisions that are going to build. And I'm running out of time. So, you know, Lot and Abraham, they got too big. They were on their way to the promised land and they're standing just on the borders of the promised land and it's too big. So they say, we need to separate. And so Lot looks around and he sees the convenient. He sees the easy. He sees the grass. He sees the what looks like. And so he says, I'm going that way. Thank God Abraham had his eyes on the promise. He had his eyes on Canaan's land because that was the promise that God would lead him to. And so he was looking because he had a priority over and above the ease and the comfort and the whatever. And we know what happened, right? God blessed him because his priority was the promise and he stuck with it. So just keep your priorities right. Don't choose convenience. Choose God and you'll be amazed at what God would do. You know, we were out in the streets, myself and another guy not so long back, and we were just praying, saying, God, lead us to somebody. And there was this young man walking towards us with his young lady friend. And we just felt God say, just ask them. And so just we were in a park, and as we're walking, they're coming the other way. We said, hey, do you know Jesus? And this big young man said, no, but I want to. And I said, can we pray for you right now? Within 15 seconds, we led him to Jesus as he stood on that footpath and accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Come on, set your priorities and you'll be amazed at what God does in you and through you. You know, there's a parable of the two sons in Matthew 21, 28 to 31. It says, what do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and he said, son, go and work today in the vineyard or the harvest. I will not, he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing to him. He answered, I will, sir, but he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? The first they asked. You see, it's so easy to say yes and not go. If we don't have priorities, something else will consume the energy, the time. And when we said yes to Jesus, we said yes to serving him and going into the harvest field. So don't let convenience sidetrack you. Don't let busyness side. Have a priority for the gospel. Let Jesus lead you and grow you. And become a fisher of men. Number three, living intentionally guides where we invest faith. Nothing will invest faith faster than the desire to become a fisher of men. Because it focuses our faith. That's where grace flourishes and faith is activated. That's where God just breathes life. You want your faith to grow? Allow him to cause you to become a more and more a fisher of men. You know, John 3:16, we know so well, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God didn't send his Son into the world to bless you with me with a new car. Right? He can do that and he does do that. But that's not what our faith should be all about. Our faith should be about what was the passion of God's heart that caused him to invest the pure love of his heart, the greatest love that he could ever have for anybody, his own son. He invested that. He let his son come because he loved people, because he saw eternity, because he was desperate to see people saved and know him and not go to hell. He invested everything he had. And then he chose you and me and he invested in us. And he says, come on, demonstrate my heart. Live it out. Come on, be the people. Let your faith rise and grow and let the miraculous happen in you and through you. That's why Jesus came, right? That's what he's called us to. Our faith fueled by an eternal perspective with the right priority, because we're intentional about God's heart, about what's important to him, about what cost him everything. Oh, I dread ever having to stand before him with nothing. I want to stand in heaven before my Father with so many and go, Father, here's your kids. Amen. musicians, you can come. You know, a really important character in the Advent account is Mary. Her story reminds us that God often reveals his purposes to the most unlikely people in the most unexpected places. When the angel declared God's favor over her, it didn't mean ease or certainty, but it meant divine calling wrapped in uncertainty. It seems that God delights in choosing ordinary people like us to carry extraordinary purpose. And his word is enough to sustain us when the journey ahead is unclear. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. Just step out and you'll be amazed at what God does this Christmas. In you and through you." Mary's response remains one of Scripture's purest expressions of faith. "May it be to me as you have said." I pray this Christmas that will be our prayer. "May it be to me as you have said. I will make you into a fisher of men." Surrendering to God always opens the door to his unfolding plan. And as you step into Christmas, may Mary's courage steady your heart. Trust his word. Be intentional. Embrace his call. And let your yes create the space that the master potter needs to fashion, to grow, to mold. You can't imagine what God could do through you this Christmas. What a privilege we have to partner with the potter in becoming a fisher of men, in satisfying the deepest cry of our Father's heart. You never know. We might just turn this world upside down for the glory of God. What a Christmas that would be. Amen. We won't be sitting in this building. We'll be sitting in something twice the size and still having double services. Amen. And maybe a 5 p.m. thrown in just to let the net catch those who are called by the Father, and the seeds can be sown, things can be planted this Christmas. When people, you know, let me finish with this. My time is gone. In 40 odd years of ministry, I have never in my life found people to be so hungry and open to the gospel. Please don't Bible bash people. Don't do that. Love them. You know, who out there is not looking for peace? Who out there is not worried about their future? Who out there is not looking about joy? Who's not questioning what on earth is going on in the world? Meet people where they're at. It is so easy. I was in a petrol station, queued up to pay for my petrol, and I looked at the girl who's standing behind the counter. And I thought, you know what? She's sad. So when I got there to give her the money, I said, "Sweetie, are you okay?" Immediately tears ran down her face and she said, "No, I'm not." I said, "What's happened?" She said, "I came from New Zealand over here to get married and my fiance's just dumped me. And now she's sobbing and she says, I don't know what to do. I've got to kill people behind me." I said to her, "Can I pray for you for peace?" She said, "Yeah." I just prayed a really simple prayer. "Jesus, show how much you love her. Show how much you care. Grant her peace now." I went back the next day and she said, "I don't know what happened when you prayed, but suddenly I felt peace." See, that's not hard, right? It's not hard. We're called to love people and to see people. And I said, "You know what? God did that because he loves you. He cares for you. That's not hard, right? Just love and be a fisher of men.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.